Welcome to Make It Simple, where we take complicated issues and, with the help of an expert, break them down into ideas we can understand, truths we can apply, and questions worth pondering. I'm your host, Matt Popovitz, and with me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Rachel Ryder. Rachel, are you excited for today's conversation?
I am. I'm so excited for today's conversation. And I have to give a little inside baseball. Whenever we record these, my kids get to delay school for a little bit. So they're excited that we're recording this conversation as well.
Okay. Yeah, so because they're not having to do school.
Because they're not having to do school. Jokes on them. We'll do school later. So
I am happy to contribute to the miseducation of your children. That's good.
But no, seriously, I am excited to speak with our guests today.
Yeah. Well, and tell our audience, who is our guest today?
We have Don Everts with us.
Don Everts. And Don is going to chat with us about what, Rachel?
Talking with us about our gifts, like, and how to use your gifts and how to discover your gifts. And,
got it. So it's not gifts as in like presents that you receive. It's like
not gifts as in presents. And
it's like talents and things that you're good at, right?
Right.
Good.
Your talents and your calling and your passions and all of that.
Well, Don is a perfect person to have this conversation with. Don is someone that I've known for some time, and he is one of the wisest and sweetest human beings I know. He's the senior pastor of First and Calvary Presbyterian Church in Springfield, Missouri. He's a writer for Lutheran Hour Ministries and the Hopeful Neighborhood Project. And Don has spent almost three decades helping people on college campuses and in local churches become good stewards of their God-given gifts. And along the way, his wife Wendy has been helping Don to do the same. They're kind of a ministry team. Wonderful people. His many books include The Reluctant Witness, The Spiritually Vibrant Home, and The Hopeful Neighborhood, all of which feature original research from Barna and biblical insights for our everyday lives. And the conversation that we're going to have today comes from Don's latest book, which is entitled Discover Your Gifts, Celebrating How God Made You and Everyone You Know. So Rachel, what are you looking forward to in our conversation today with Don Everts about our gifts?
I think I'm looking for just a little bit to be reinvigorated or re-excited about the gifts I have. Because I think talking about gifts and talents and passions, especially if you've grown up in a church, you've heard this. God created me and I'm unique and all right. But I know he's passionate about this. So I'm interested to see like what kind of encouragement it sparks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm kind of in the same vein. Like for me, the question of my gifts, what am I good at, often feels like a settled question. Like I'm 42 years old. I know the answer to that question.
I got it.
The same way that I know what food I like and don't like, I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. But what Don's inviting us to do in this book and really in his whole ministry, this is kind of what he's about, is to reopen that question. Like maybe you don't know everything that you're good at. Maybe there is more to discover. And for a person who's felt like that's kind of a settled question, I'm interested as to why he says I need to keep asking that question of what my gifts are. So that's what I'm looking forward to diving into with Don. Yeah. All right. So let's not waste any time because Don is an incredible person, as our audience is about to find out. And I want to make sure we get as much time with him as possible. So Rachel, what do you say we dive into our conversation with Don Everts about gifts?
Let's do it.
Don, welcome to Make It Simple. It's so great to have you on the show.
So fun to be with you all.
Yeah, it's great to see you. We're excited to dive into this conversation about gifts.
So we're talking about gifts today, and I wanted to just lay the foundation or ask you to lay the foundation. What are we going to be talking about here when we talk about gifts? Because I know growing up in the church, things like spiritual gifts get thrown around and then talents get thrown around. So like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a great question. We could sit here and talk about spiritual gifts and that'd be a very edifying conversation, but that's not exactly what we'd be talking about. Spiritual gifts are hugely important. These enablements that the Holy Spirit imparts to believers are huge and important in the life of a believer in the church, but that's not what we're talking about. So we're talking about what you might call common gifts or creational gifts. And so what that means, not common in the sense of like they're not special, but common in the sense that these are gifts that God gives to everyone that he makes. And we know that every human being has been made by God and that God is a really, really good creator. To use the language of Psalm 139, that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has knit us together in the womb. So every single human that God has created, he has created well, and he has given them abilities, skills, aptitudes, passions. And it would even include what we're talking about, would include those things like innate things, but also things that through God's grace and through time in our lives, skills that we have developed and picked up over time. It would also include those sorts of things. So no one is born playing the piano, but God gives some people, you know, the kind of passion and the abilities and the predilections that over time they can develop that acquired skill. And so that is included as well. So that's what we're talking about.
So what do you say to the person who's like, but Don, I don't have any gifts. Like I'm not a uniquely talented person. There's nothing that when people look at me and they go, oh, Matt, he's really, really good at X, Y, and Z. Like I've got no special gifts. What do you say to that person who hears this and like, well, this podcast isn't for me because I am good at nothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And I empathize. And actually in our research, 3.5% of all respondents said that they didn't think they had any giftings at all. That they didn't have any gifts. And we can, that quote unquote, no gift group. And I use air quotes because the reason I use air quotes, so we can talk about that group. The research showed us some fascinating things about them. But the initial thing that I would say, if someone came to me and was like, I don't have any of these gifts, it would be to invite them to look into the mirror of certain things that are revealed in Scripture. That would be one thing, because the Scripture is very, very clear that God is a really good creator, that he doesn't make mistakes, that he has purposefully, like an artisan, that's the language that's used, like an artisan, that he has crafted each person and made them beautifully. Now, there are a wide variety of reasons because of our own biographies, because of our own journeys in life. There are a wide variety of reasons why some of us wind up wondering about our value, about our dignity, about our giftedness. Do I have anything to offer the world? Mm-hmm. I'm someone that in my own journey in high school, deep seasons of not just self-doubt, but self-hatred. Mm-hmm. And so I hugely empathize with people who may look in the mirror and think, I don't think I have anything to offer. So my invitation with them would be reconsider what the Scripture tells us about humanity, and God is a creator, and we're all sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, right? Mm-hmm. We're all made by God, and that has implications. And then the other thing I would invite them to do is to talk to other people in their life, because it's often the case that the things that we are really good at or that we're gifted in, we take for granted, and we assume, well, that's easy for everyone. Because it feels so native to us, because it feels so obvious to us, because it becomes, quote unquote, easily to us, we tend to overlook those things. And we assume, well, everyone can do that. Everyone is like that.
Oh, sure.
And it's usually not the case.
Hmm. And so you would suggest maybe looking at someone who's in our life, who sees us and
that's right.
knows what it's like to live with us, and maybe even ask them, what
that's right.
What gifts do you think I have?
That's right.
What unique blessing do I bring to your life that maybe nobody else does, right?
That's right. And this 3.5% of the folks in this research that we did on how do people discover their gifts, how do they understand their gifts, how do they develop them, use them, et cetera. When the researchers went back and said, do these quote unquote no gift people have anything in common with each other? And one of the things that stood out is how in answering certain questions, it revealed that they were relatively detached from the people around them. Mm. So they didn't have people coming over to their house a lot. They didn't have a lot of relationships in their community. They didn't feel like they had any agency in their neighborhood. They didn't go to church a lot, etc. Wow. So the answers do seem to indicate that there's something about being disconnected with others that makes it harder for us to discover our own giftedness. And so then the converse would be true, that being connected with others helps us, or is a part of, discovering how we're gifted.
Yeah.
Wow. So Don, you've mentioned, you've said a couple of times, like the research showed, or you're talking about the Barna research for this book. So do you have anything else off the top of your head that was just fascinating or surprising to you in this research?
Oh yeah. Lots of things. I'll give you a couple examples.
Awesome.
So part of what was revealed is how different people, discover their gifts differently. And so one example would be that in general, by a little bit, men tend to be more in touch with their gifts than women, not by a lot, but by enough to be statistically significant. Hmm. And so the research doesn't tell us why. It doesn't tell us why. Is it because average more men are in the workplace, and so they're interacting with direct reports and supervisors, and they're getting developed, et cetera, et cetera? Or are there other reasons? But it is meaningful. Another one is that generationally people interact with gifts differently. And so this one really surprised me, Rachel. Younger folks, so millennials and Gen Z, are much more interested in discovering their gifts, learning things about their gifts, than people in older generations.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And again, we don't, is part of that because maybe folks who are in older generations, they've already discovered their gifts and they're now in a season in life where they're like trying to pour into others. They're like, I don't want to learn more about me. Mm-hmm. I want to like be mentoring others. Is that why? Is it that in some of the reading that I did around the area of mentoring and developing gifts, there's this way that after 50 and really after 40, a lot of people just stop growing. So there is an element of people kind of hit a kind of place in life. But that was fascinating to me, especially, as a pastor, I'm very motivated to be a blessing in my church to millennials and Generation Z, some of the folks who statistically aren't coming to church as much. And so looking for, what are some itches that we could help scratch to be a blessing in their life? And it turns out that discovering gifts, learning about our gifts, having them develop, learning about how to use them, that this is actually a passion area for younger generations. That was a fascinating part of the research as well. So I could keep going, but there's a couple things that stood out to me.
So I mean, the assumption underneath the book is that regardless of age, however, there's still some discovering to do. And I think that's an important point to make because, I can very easily, I know for myself that I can very easily get caught in this thinking of, I already know what I'm good at. I already know what I'm here for, right? Yeah. Like my giftedness is a settled truth, not something to continue to discover, right?
Interesting. So,
Or my lack of giftedness, right, is a settled truth. I know what I'm good or not good at. Like there's no more need to discover. So if you would, Don, make the case maybe for that different generation who's not already in this kind of ready stance to discover their gifts. Make the case for learning more or discovering more or developing more gifts to someone who's say 42 and already knows.
Yeah, that's right. Or like me, 50 and already knows.
Right.
So part of the case I would make is that in reading the scripture. So let's talk about the Bible for a little bit. Yeah. So a part of what you find in the Bible is that mentoring, and maybe that language isn't always used, but the idea of humans sharpening each other.
Yeah.
Helping draw things out of each other is really lifted up. That's a narrative in the Bible that we don't necessarily often think about. The Paul and Timothy relationship, that there are these relationships of what you might call spiritual friendship or mentoring, where people, like, part of what we're designed for and made for is to be pushed, is to grow and to discover more things. So that would be one angle in terms of making a case. Another one that I would suggest just comes from having been someone who walks with people for the last 30 years of ministry and seeing how there are different seasons in life where maybe there have been gifts that have been in, say, ember form or seed form. And whether it's because of just over time, it's not like we're going to develop all at once. We're not like a bag of microwave popcorn that, like, well, within 3 minutes, by the time you're done with puberty, all the kernels are popped and you know everything about yourself. But that just being a student of humans and walking with humans and trying to be honest with myself, we actually develop and blossom over time. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the case that I would make too, you know, where, you know, Mother Teresa, how old was she when she stopped teaching geography and started leaning into mercy ministry? I think she mm-hmm. was in her 40s.
Wow.
How many great novelists that I read their novels, who it was when they retired and were in their 60s that they discovered these artistic gifts within them.
Wow.
So I think part of it, Matt, is that if it's true that as Calvin put it, we are clothed and ornamented with excellent gifts.
Mm.
You know, and John Calvin was known for like having a kind of sober view of humans, right?
Right. Total yeah, depravity, for sure.
Total depravity. Yeah. But even John Calvin, in reading the scripture, said every human is clothed and ornamented with excellent gifts. We're not going to find all that out initially,
yeah.
but over time we discover those things. And sometimes it's new stages of life bring new things out of us.
Mm-hmm.
New challenges bring new things out of us. So I guess that's what I would say, that it isn't that, you know, you take a test, well, you have three gifts, and everyone has three gifts, and that's all that they have. What are your three? Do you know your three? Okay. But actually that God is the one imparting gifts, some at birth, some over time, and those things can tend to come out. I've seen that in my own life.
Hmm.
You know, we came up based on the research and realizing how people need help discovering their gifts. We came up with this kind of research-based every gift inventory. So it's an inventory on these different types of common gifts. And here's the thing. I think I know my gifts a lot. I've taken lots of assessments in life. I've had great mentors and supervisors. I helped write the every gift inventory. Okay. I just want to establish that.
Right.
And then to test the software, I took it. And afterwards I was floored. And I was kind of put back in my seat by how even just walking through an inventory like this of a fully robust, like 12 different common gifts, made me look at myself differently and,
wow.
and realize some things that are in me that I hadn't been thinking about or being faithful to stewarding.
Hmm.
So even my own story would be part of how I would make the case that like, wow. there's probably more to you than you think.
Hmm.
Well, it's a really encouraging view to like at any point in your life to say, no, I'm still growing and I'm still changing and I've still got things to discover. Yeah. I wanted to ask, so I'm kind of like making a mental note. So the importance of discovering your gifts. So I'm a person who says, great, I hear you. I've got gifts. I want to discover what those are. I'm going to talk to people who know me well. I'm going to take an inventory. Like what else? What would you say to somebody who's like, I hear you. What else can I do to proactively discover my gifts?
Yeah. So we know that interactions with other people are a key part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, talking to people, and some of that's going to be talking to people who know you really well. And some of that's going to be talking to people who are maybe new to you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever found that there's people that you know really well, you become a little home blind to them and you've kind of, well, I've got them in a bucket.
Oh,
I think
sure.
I understand them. Whereas someone with fresh eyes is like, you're an idea person. Did you know you were an idea person? You're always coming up with new ideas.
Right.
I said that to our communications person recently, who's kind of knows herself as having literary gifts and being really careful with language. And I'm like, you're like a brainstormer. Like you have this creativity. She's in her 60s.
Wow.
And she hadn't heard that before. Well, I'm new to her. And so talking with people like that, taking an inventory can be helpful. Another thing that I have found, and I told my son this, my son's just graduated from college, my oldest, and he's like going in the world and he's like, what advice do you have? And I said, Simon, try everything.
Mm.
Just try everything. Because in trying different things and being encouraged, like in whatever field you're in, like putting your hands to lots of different things. That was part of how I discovered some of my gifts is because people were like, hey, we need someone to do this. Could you do this?
Yeah.
I never would have thought of it. It wasn't something that I was like, I'm passionate about that. But trying different things is another way of discovering gifts. And you'll have other people who say, that was like disproportionately fruitful when you did that. Or you may go, that was disproportionately joyful when I did that. But you, no inventory is going to tell you that. Right. And no person necessarily going to know it unless you're like trying some things out. So those would be some starting places that people could go in to discover more about their gifts.
But you also, you know, you in talking about that, you know, the communication person that you work with, and you saying, you know, saying to her, you know, you're like a brainstormer. Like there's power in speaking possibility into other people about what their gifts can be. And so like the part of this conversation is like discover your own gifts, but like there's incredible power in being able to notice gifts in others and speak those kind of into existence to a certain degree, right?
Absolutely. We wrote a companion workbook to go along with this book. And half of the like calls to action or like, here's what you can do are about yourself. And then the other half are like, look around you. who do you see that has this gift? And I think that's another thing is the more I've been getting in touch with a biblical anthropology, that is to say, the more I'm getting in touch with what the Bible says about every single human who's ever been made. And the Bible has a lot to say about them. The more I get in touch with that, it's affecting how I see myself, but it's also affecting how I see others and how I'm quicker, Matt. I'm quicker because I'm letting the Bible inform my view of humans more beyond the fact that you're fallen and you have need of a savior. Like to go back to creation itself and what the Bible has to say about God as a creator, I'm doing more of that. I'm speaking over people more, just saying, have you ever noticed this? Or have you ever tried this? Try this. Yeah. I'm becoming much, how would I describe this? As a pastor, I'm becoming much freer in inviting people to try things. Yeah. And I'm Presbyterian. So you know, we're very, you know, it's ordered and we vote and only once a year do we invite people to new things. I mean, that's not at all.
Yeah.
And it's making me much more free to do what you said, Matt, to speak things over people.
Well, because when I look back at my life, I'm just doing like a quick, super quick like inventory. When I look back at my life and I think of like, how did I discover that I was good at this or that I had a passion for that? I think in almost every circumstance, it's because somebody said something to me, right? Like these things that I now consider gifts, I don't think that they're things that I stumbled upon. They're things that were spoken to me. Like I think of like my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Cherry. Like I discovered from her that I had this desire to be like a creative person, right? I ended up going into the arts, but it was because she would write these short stories in class and she would never tell us that she wrote it. She would read this really compelling, like incredible story, right? And we'd all just sit there like jaw drop, like, this is so good. And then she would say, and I wrote that one. And I was just like, you can write that? And I remember going up to her one day and saying like, your stories, Mrs. Cherry, are so good. And she looked at me, and she said, Matt, you have stories too. Yeah. And that, like that one little thing, Matt, you have stories too. That there's, if my life were a tree, like a new branch grew in a new direction at that point, right? Yeah. And so to think of like the ability to do that for other people, like, What a humbling and huge like gift that is to invite people to discover a gift, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have the same kind of reflecting on my own story, and I can remember moments that's a great way of putting it, that opened up whole branches that really it formed like what I do for a living. I mean that core, not just like informing hobbies in life, but like some of my life pursuits have become.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you say, like, what's the why? Why has God given us gifts? Yeah, like why?
Good question.
You know?
Yeah. To make money. No.
I knew it. I knew it would go here. Right. I knew it.
Good. I think we're done. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Vanity, self-interest. No. it's interesting when you look at the kind of a biblical anthropology and what it has to say, that God imparts gifts. God or rocks or blesses people, and what we read in Genesis, so that they can use those gifts with purpose in the world. And so like humanity is kind of given gifts. You know, in Genesis, what we read is God says, you know, go forth, multiply, care for the earth, like we have, we're to be stewards over creation. And it says, and then God blessed them and sent them to do it. And the language there's really robust, and it's like to impart the power for creation or for fertility or for success. So God gives us gifts. He imparts gifts to us for, and I'm going to use a fancy word, but then I will define it, for the vocations or callings that God gives us in life. Mm-hmm. And I had grown up, the word vocation to me just meant job. It was another way of saying job, like what you do. And for me, Martin Luther has become so hugely helpful in kind of the Lutheran understanding of vocation that sees vocation, which is a Latin term vocare, which all it means is calling, that God gives us all different callings, which are you could think of as the different roles or relationships we're in life. So I used to think, well, my vocation is, you know, I'm a writer or I'm a researcher or I'm a pastor. And now it's like, I actually have a vocation as a father because I have kids. God has given me children. And so one of my roles or relationships, one of my vocations is as a father. I have a vocation as a neighbor. I have a vocation as a brother. Yeah. I have a vocation as a friend. I have a vocation as a pastor. And what the scripture says is that God gives us gifts so that we can use them to love our neighbors, to fulfill these vocations. And so it's, which changes, you know, it changes things for me to think like, I'm not just like, well, I want to be a parent, so I should read some parenting books. Well, I should. But also, God has given me gifts, and how do I use those gifts to parent better, to love my children better, to be a blessing to them? And when we start to see life through this lens of vocation, that God, whether, and you can think of it in four categories maybe, right? That we have vocations in the home, we have vocations in our community, we have vocations in our local church as believers, and then we have vocations kind of in society. If we begin to think of it in those terms, or at our job, pardon me, it kind of transforms everything we do, becomes spiritual and important to God and a part of everything about us. So that's the more robust answer that the Bible gives us, is that God creates us to be partners with him in the world. And he gives us gifts to help us do that.
And that really then, it gives us into another angle into discovering what our gifts are. You can look through the lens of, well, what are the responsibilities or callings God has given to me? Right. And, if, and if I'm a person of faith, then I have to believe if God has given me this responsibility, if he's given me this calling, he equips, he gifts those that he calls. Right. And so really it ceases to become a question of if I have gifts to meet this responsibility, but what are they and how do I discover them? And I think that can be really encouraging. Like, I was talking to a young mother here at our church the other day, and she's just had her first kid. And it's the first Sunday she brings her child to church. And I can see the joy and just the feeling of being overwhelmed on her face. And like, she's this beautiful young mother with this beautiful baby, but I can see, because I've been around it enough, I can see like there's a part of her who is like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know, like, I don't know if I have what it takes to deliver everything that this kid needs, because even just bringing this baby to church is so overwhelming, right?
Yes.
But there's this word of encouragement that I could speak to her of saying, look, the Lord has called you into this, and he has gifted you to be the one and only mom that this kid will ever have. It's not a question of if.
And it also frees us up from, and you guys know how this is, in different roles and relationships, to think there's an ideal or to compare ourselves, like, okay, I have this baby. I need to be, what's the ideal mom? Or I need to be a mom like this mom that I see over here. Well, God's gifted them in certain ways. He's gifted you in different ways. And of course, there are best practices and all that sort of thing. But it's also this beautiful, just the dignity and agency to realize God has knitted me together. So I'm going to mom in a certain way, you know, and it frees, like, you know what that's like, because you carry these burdens. Well, I need to parent like this guy. Yeah. Right? I need to do my job like this person. Well, who am I? How's God created me? And how do I use those various gifts in a way that only I can?
Yeah. Rachel, you had a good question as we were talking before this interview, and I would love, hopefully you remember it, but the question was about, you know, like you don't have the gifts other people have.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with that?
Talking about the, you know, there's this burden sometime of the guilt and the shame of I'm not gifted a certain way or as well as others. And so what would you speak to that person?
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would say, you're right, but it's good news, right? There's something beautiful about realizing, you know, it's not about fitting a certain mold. It's not about, you know, being like other people. But again, a biblical anthropology, again, it's artisan language. It's not factory language that the Bible uses. God, it's not like God is running a factory and he's like plopping out, you know, like on a factory floor, all these same things, but it describes God with verbs that are artisan verbs. Mm-hmm. Like God is crafting, you know, that he's more like he's molding and shaping each of us individually. That should floor us. Mm-hmm. Like that should deal some strong blows, if not death blows, to low self-esteem and insecurity, right? The fact that God, like, he made you like he made you. And so the fact that we're different than other people, like, get over it. That's actually good. That's actually really good news. Yeah. I say that, I don't say that glibly. I say that as someone who is, as I mentioned earlier, really struggled with low self-esteem and self-hatred even. Hmm. And with all the comparisons, I grew up poor. I'm watching the rich kids, and if only I could be a rich kid. Well, I'm in this category, so what can I do with my life? And that's something beautiful about having a living relationship with a living God who looks you in the eyes through the Spirit, through the Scriptures, through Christian community, and it says, I love you, I know you, I see you, I made you. Hmm. Boy, that makes you stand up straighter. That makes you compare less and want to discover more. It makes you want to compare less and be more curious. Like, how has God made me? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to pretend, Rachel, that like having a biblical anthropology like leak into your psyche and your soul is like an easy process or a quick process. It's not. Mm-hmm. But that is the end, not trying to measure up, not trying to compare ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Don, this might be a strange question to ask. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to phrase it correctly, but you're a really smart guy. Hopefully you'll be able to pick up on and put it down. You know, as we look at the world and the hurts and the issues and the struggles that are happening in the world that we're living in right now, and certainly, you know, nothing's new under the sun, but it's the first time, you know, all of us who are here at this particular moment in time have faced all these things. You know, there's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot of difficulties, a lot of hurts, a lot of problems and pains. And if what you're sharing is true, then God is gifting people to respond to these hurts and these troubles and these pains that we're seeing in this world.
Yeah.
What are the gifts that God very well is giving giving to this world right now that is hurting in these ways and struggling in these ways that we need to be perhaps attentive to and seeking and trying to cultivate? Like, what does this world need now that God is trying to give and that we should be asking ourselves, if I have that gift? Does that make sense?
I think so. I think so. I have an answer, or I have some thoughts, whether or not they're if they scratch at what you're getting at or not. I mean, always the story has been God created a beautiful world. It is now fallen and broken. And so he is redeeming a people to be salt and light in that world. So if that's the story that we're in, always what we're going to see is beautiful things around us and broken things around us. And the Spirit inside of us calling us, like, be a part of helping love and repair and restore and lift up and dignify. Like, I think that's the story we're in, if that makes sense. Yeah. So one thing that I would say is that getting in touch with a biblical anthropology does, and I see this in myself and I see it in other people as well. And I would say Christendom right now, and in certain streams of the church, I think we struggle with this more. I think we are tempted to look at the world and hate it, and to judge other people, and it's us and them. And I think part of the fact that our culture is kind of moving beyond Christendom and we're in a place where maybe we're not the home team anymore. And we've felt like the home team for a long time, and that feels a certain way. And it feels a certain way to now be the visiting team. And I think some of how Christians and churches have been tempted to respond to that is to get bitter and defensive and critical, and to look out at the world and not see beauty that's broken and that God is calling us to be a part of loving and lifting up, et cetera, but that we can be condemning. We want to, you know, circle the wagons, hide ourselves away from the world. So I do feel that the lens of gifts, I think it has a way of getting into ways that we are. I mean, the biblical language is to show partiality, and like God's not into that. God says, don't show partiality. Don't treat some people differently than others. And the Bible is very, very clear about that. And I think Christians right now are particularly in this moment, we're back on our heels. And I think we're really tempted to show partiality and to treat non-Christians differently, or to treat Christians who believe, you know, have different politics than us differently. But the lens of giftedness, it really knocks out our legs of showing partiality from underneath us, or it should, because we should look at humans, Muslim humans, non-Christian humans, gay humans, all humans, and say, God knit them together. That's not to say become universalist, so please don't hear me say what I'm not saying.
Right.
But it is to say at their core, they were created by God, and that should inform my interaction with them.
That's right. That's right.
And so I do think there are some particular temptations that we're facing right now. As you said, nothing's new, but boy, some of this feels really new to us and to our generations. And so what does it mean for us to recognize that God is the creator? And that means something about everyone who's been created. It means something about creation, and that he's given us gifts, not just spiritual gifts to be used in the context of a local church, which he's also given, but he's also given us common gifts to be used to pursue the common good of our neighborhoods, of our communities. Yeah. And that redemptive, now we're back in the story that I think God tells us that we're really in.
That's right. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier, you know, we were talking about the importance of speaking over people gifts that you see in them as well. I was wondering, you know, what would you say to parents specifically and for how they can encourage and cultivate gifts they see in their kids?
Oh, Rachel, that is a fabulous question. My kids are like getting older now, so I'm having all these like regrets or, you know, I wish I'd done this. Sure. So I'm thinking about all those things. I really do feel like, Rachel, that sometimes, like, we really want to protect our kids, right? And we should protect our kids, and we should do that. And as Christians, there's a way that we want to spiritually protect our kids, right? That we want to, you know, in youth group can at its worst be like, we want to, you know, put all this like padding around our youth so that the world, you know what I mean? And so we're going to not pander, but pander, to our kids. And your question, Rachel, what I love about it is that how powerful it is to speak over our kids. God has blessed you because he has callings in your life. God actually wants to use you. Like, my greatest goal for you in life and my greatest hope isn't just that you're happy. I want so much more for you than for you to be happy. I don't just want you to be safe. I want so much more for you than for you to be safe. I want you to like get in touch with your gifts and your skills and your power. Like, God's given you power. And how are you going to use that to change this world? How are you going to use that to do more than I've ever done in life? I think that tenor of parenting, having this like lens of giftedness, I think our kids want that more than like, don't let the world get on you. don't hide away. Again, obviously, we need to protect our kids, and that's really important, but it's also important that we empower them and that we help them see themselves in the story that God has them in, that they are, that he calls them to minister. He calls them to love. He calls them to sacrifice. He calls them to use their gifts. Someone said to me something, Rachel, and I could go on about this, but I won't. I'll stop with this. Someone said, you want your kids somewhere in their teens to experience their strength. You want them to experience how strong they are. And that was just like new to me. I'd never thought about that as a lens. And that started to color my own prayers for my kids.
Yeah.
Like I want them to experience their strength. So this lens and kind of biblical anthropology, I think it would be wonderful if it leaked into our parenting as well. Yeah. I love your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don, again, you mentioned earlier that the research shows that younger adults feel much more freedom to wrestle with this question of what are my gifts and discovering them. But you know, again, you know, I'm showing my bias, you know, not a younger adult. And I work with a lot of people who are in my same age category. And one of the things that I can sense in them, and I certainly sense it myself, is that the question of what am I good at, or what else can I be good at, or what gifts can I discover, can feel self-indulgent. Or perhaps like a luxury, right? Versus like self-sacrificial and like just focus on everybody else figuring out who they are and finding their gifts. So could you just, and you've already done this in so many ways, but just again, could you give a bit of permission to those of us who might otherwise feel guilty for asking the question, what am I good at? What could I become good at? What can my gifts be?
Yeah. It's a great question. It's very perceptive. And I think this is where marrying the conversation about gifts with the conversation about vocation is so critical, because gifts aren't meant to exist unto themselves. They're not meant to, you know, it's not like I take an inventory and then and these are my highest grades. And like, I wave those as flags, like, look how cool I, you know, I have these, what do you have? Oh, you know, that can feel that way. So I think really wedding it with vocation and vocations, plural, is humongously important. And if for someone like the door into the conversation about gifts needs to start with vocations, fine. I have a lot of retired people in the church that I pastor. One of the primary things I'm discovering that they wrestle with, am I done? Is there any use for my life?
Wow.
Because here's the thing, they may like playing golf and they may play a lot of it, and some of them really do. But they actually want purpose. God has designed us for that. Like Genesis is very clear. He's made us to make a difference. So I've even discovered about some of the kind of the retired crowd that one of the biggest fears that's inside of them, which is part of why they flex about their previous career or they flex about their possessions or whatever, is because the fear is, has everything passed me by? Is there any use for my life anymore? Is there any reason to get up in the morning? Is there any, and so even folks like that, if vocation is the door in where you say, you know, hey, what are some here? I have like a few ideas. Like, I think you could be making a powerful difference in people's lives. Like, we might need you. We might need you to use your gifts. If that's the door in for people, otherwise that it would seem like self-indulgent or like, I don't know, overly millennial or whatever, I think that's crucial. And frankly, in my experience, everyone is hungry to be used by God. Whether, however close to the surface of their consciousness that is, it's in them.
Don, that's such a powerful insight, because you know the guilt that I'll feel or others will feel about saying, you know, what am I good at, can be assuaged by saying that this is not about, you know, just selfish self-actualization.
That's right.
This is about the question of what am I good at is about you being faithful in your service to others and the gift that you can be to others, right? And so it still fits into that category of being others focused, right? And being a servant to the world around me. But to be the best, most faithful and effective servant I can, I have to ask the question, well, how am I called and equipped? Mm-hmm. It's not just a self-indulgent project. Thank you for that. That's the huge insight. That's great. Yeah.
As we kind of wrap up here and come to the end of our time, you know, we started out by talking about, you shared a little bit about what it looks like when a person doesn't know their gifts and they can feel disconnected and those kind of things. Can you give us a picture of what it looks like when somebody is like, they're living their gifts, they know what they're good at, they're passionate, and they're getting to live that out? And like, what does that look like in a person?
That's a great question. Yeah. I remember in research for another book, but it was similar to this. I was talking to a good buddy of mine from the UK, and he became a Christian as an adult. And he told me this story of like the church he became a Christian in. It was an Anglican church over there, but and he said his pastor was always going up to everyone in the church and saying, "I see this in you. I see this gift in you. How are you going to use that?" And he said, "My church was a place where everyone got to play." That phrase stuck with me. And he said, I was a brand new Christian. I was a filmmaker at the time. And so what they said to me is, well, of course, God would want to use your gifts in videography, in storytelling, mm-hmm. in creativity for his purposes in the world too. And, like, keep using them in your vacation, but you can use them here as well. And he said, Don, it made this impression on me. And everyone in that church was like, of course, I'm going to try different things. Mm. Of course, I'm going to be taking risks. Of course, I'm going to be developing other gifts and being mentored by others. Of course, I'm going to fail at some things and try it and have that celebrated because I did it. That picture he gave me, Rachel, it haunts me in a way because I want the church to be more like that. I want to be more like that pastor. Yeah. But it also motivates me because I think the picture is people who feel blessed. People who feel like God has had grace on them, has had mercy on them, even in spite of just all of the pains of life, which are real and everyone has the pains in life, but that at the end of the day, it's like, I've been blessed with so much, so many gifts, and that's something every single human can say. And so I want to get busy using them. Like, I'm firmly convinced, Rachel, that God gives us gifts so that we will use them.
Yeah.
And so the picture is someone who's curious and risky a little bit. Right? They're curious. What are the things inside of me? And like, okay, I'm going to risk a little bit more than I have in the past to steward those gifts for other people. Mm. I think in ways we need to be a little less careful. Wow. And I'm saying that as a Presbyterian. So that's quite a confession to me.
It is. Oh, Don, thank you so much for this conversation. It's been awesome to chat with you about this. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, well, Matt and Rachel, so fun to talk with you guys about this and think about this with you all. And you guys are really good at what you do. I want you to know that. Like, I do a lot of podcasts and stuff.
Thank
so you. Using your gifts and like listening and empathy and thoughtfulness. And so keep doing it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Don. It means a lot coming from the guy who wrote a book about gifts. Thank you.
Yeah, it does.
All right, Rachel. So I told you before we sat down to talk with Don that he's like one of the sweetest and wisest people I know. And did that not prove to be true in our conversation with him?
Oh, it was. He was just so loving. And like, I know that this is audio, people can't see, but he's almost playful. Like he really enjoys talking and interacting. And it was just, I just like smiled the whole time.
Yeah. I truly feel reinvigorated to ask the question, like, well, what are my gifts? What am I good at? And I love the way he framed the whole conversation. Like when he brought it into the context of vocation and the notion that, look, God has given you certain responsibilities or callings in your life, and he will uniquely equip the people that he's called. And so it's not a question of like, if you have gifts, but what gifts do you have? And what, if you have responsibility in your life right now at all, that means God has given you gifts, unique gifts. So ask the question, what are they? I loved that angle of this. Oh, what stood out to you?
So it was funny, as he was talking, I was like, duh, I am in this stage right now. Like I had somebody speak something over me or to me and call out a gifting they saw in me. And it started me on this journey of I'm going back to school. I'm getting a master's. I want to help people and I want to use that. And I was like, yeah, because somebody called something out in me that I had an inkling of. And I realized like, oh, I have an excitement and a passion for this. I should do this. Mm-hmm. And it really just re-encouraged me that it is good at any stage in your life to discover about yourself and you can start something new or you can be encouraged to pursue those things.
Yeah. And I really appreciated the encouragement that he gave to us and our listeners to be the person who speaks those opportunities into the lives of other people. Like what a humbling and profound opportunity that is to like notice something in somebody and just say, you know, you might consider looking a little more into this because you might have this as a gift. Or did you know that you're this kind of person? Like what a gift to be that gift to other people.
Well, and the reminder that it's good for me to know my gifts. It's good for other people around me to know my gifts. It's good for the world at large. Like there's a part you play, you know, in the bigger, and that's just encouraging to me that I have something to offer that, you know, maybe is needed.
Yeah.
And that's true of everybody.
Yeah. And I also really appreciate just how encouraging this conversation can be to someone who's in a really difficult place right now based on the responsibilities that they've been given. Like maybe, you know, they, like we mentioned, like the new mom or somebody who's at a new job and they're just feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility that's been placed on their shoulders and they're feeling really unequipped. But what I love about this conversation is that, you know, what Don said to us is that the Christian scriptures tell us that, look, if you find yourself in a place where you have responsibility, where God's clearly, you know, whether you want to be in that chair or not, you're in that chair, that he will not abandon you to that calling without equipping you. And in equipping you, not abandoning you at all, but setting you up to be faithful and successful and fruitful in that. Like that is so encouraging to someone who might feel like, I don't know if I have what it takes. Yes, you do. You might have to ask some questions. You might have to get really curious and kind of brave, but you have what it takes, or you can find it.
Yeah. So what's your takeaway or your soundbite for this
one? Oh man, I feel like I've got so many because I love talking with Don. He just inspires so many ideas and thoughts and conversations in me. I think my make it simple soundbite for this conversation about gifts with Don Everts is going to be this. And I hope this makes sense. My soundbite is, it's not bad to ask, what am I good at? And we talked about that toward the end of the conversation, that we can feel like maybe we're being self-indulgent or we're just kind of getting caught up in the impulse of our age, which is to self-actualize and discover who you are for your own sake. And there are many of us, myself included, who I don't really vibe with that question at all, right? Of self-actualization. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to feel bad for asking the question, well, what am I good at? And I love the permission that he gave us of, it's not bad to ask, what am I good at? It's not even self-indulgent, because you know what? If it's a gift that you have, somebody out there needs it.
Yeah.
They need you to step into it. They need you to embrace it. So that's my soundbite. Rachel, what about you?
You know, I was impacted and it kind of hit me in the feels when he talked about like, it's good to have other people in your life, like speak. And you can ask people like, what am I good at? What do you see in me? Because I know there have been times in my life where I felt like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm like. I'm just kind of floating out here. And those were times of isolation and not being in community with people. And so just the value of having that community. Yeah. I kind of have and I'm almost surprised you didn't say this, but it also really encouraged me that it's like, you can discover your gifts at any point. There is no like, I'm baked and done and I have nothing else to learn or discover, like at any age, at any point, at any stage, you can be discovering new giftings and passions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we want to hear from you. What was your takeaway from this conversation with Don Everts? The best way to share that with us is to head over to Instagram. And we are at @mpopovits, @mpopovits. You'll see the post there about today's episode with Don. And in the comments section, let us know what stood out to you. What are you taking with you? What's a new idea, a new thought that came to you as you were listening to this conversation with Don Everts? Well, Rachel, this has been a really good one. I don't know about you, but I gotta end this conversation now because I got some gifts to go discover, right? I got some questions to ask.
I got some passions to live out. Yep.
That's right. That's right. But all that said, you know, this is a passion of mine. So I know that we're going to come right back and we're going to do this again soon. Are you down for it?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Thanks for helping us make it simple. The show is produced by MPM. Our editor is Marcia Lambeth. Artwork for the show was designed by Brenton Little. Do you have a topic you'd like us to tackle or an expert you'd like us to chat with? Send your ideas to info@mattpopovitz.com. That's info@mattpovitz.com. And if you'd like more information about Make It Simple or MPM, just head to mattpopovitz.com.